We're really supposed to be up to Zion and Aleph, but got caught up in something of Avraham Abayz, and I thought we would discuss that in Mitzvah. Next time we'll move on to Zion and Aleph. But the Gemara tells us that the two dots here, that in order to be a kosher sukkah, basic quotation from the Mishnah, it has to have three walls. So the Gemara expands upon that, and then we'll, conversation will continue throughout the ensuing dapim. The Gemara quotes from a brayza. Tana Rabbanan, Shtaim Kilchasim V'Shlishus Afilu Tefach. What is the minimum size of a sukkah? It's two walls, Kilchasim, that means at a right angle. Obviously, all of this is Kahalacha. Kahalacha doesn't mean halachically valid. What it means is right. We use the word right to mean at a right angle, meaning proper, like a proper two walls. So through here, it means a proper two walls, Kilchasim, at a right angle. Vishlishis afilu tefach, and the third wall will be a tefach. Rav Shimon Aima shalosh kilchasim revias afilu tefach. Rav Shimon disagrees that the minimum size of a sukkah is three walls, three proper walls. Revias, the fourth wall could be a tefach. B'maikam mefligi, what are they arguing about? Rabbanan savri yesh aim lemisiris. According to the Rabbanan, primary way of learning the Torah is based on the way it is written. Yesh Eim L'Misar. So Shimon Savar, Yesh Eim L'Mikra. This is a running machlekes in many different sugyos, Mesechtes and Shas. Is it Yesh Eim L'Mikra or is it Yesh Eim L'Misar? Ostensibly an argument about which one is more correct. Is it more correct the way that it's written or is it more correct the way that it is pronounced? So Shimon Savar, Rabbanan Savri, Yesh Eim L'Misayres. Rabbanan's opinion is we give what is the way it is written is more correct. And Shimon Savri, Yesh Eim L'Mikra, the way that it is pronounced, it is more correct. And the Gemara explains. Rabbanan Savri, Yesh Eim L'Misayres. Rabbanan feel that we should give greater credence to the way that it is written. And it's written to Achaser Vav. So the word Sukkos is written three times over here in the Parashas Emor. Twice it is Chaser Vav, once it is Malei Vav. If you have the fancy Gemara, it tells you on the side. One pasuk is Basukais Teish Rishivas Yamim. Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael Yesh Basukais. Both of those are Chaser Vav. So if you would not have the Nekudais, it would be read Besukas, which is in this Lashon Yachid in singular. Whereas the next pasuk is Aman Yedid Orasechem Ki Basukais Hashavti. There it is Malei Vav. So that implies something which is Belashon Rabbah, which is plural. So if we would just go based on the way that it is written without the nekudos, meaning the way, without the way that it's pronounced, just the way that it's written, we have basukas, basukas, that's one, two, and then basukos, which is two, which is four. Our nikud, by the way, parenthetically, just in case you didn't catch all this in wonderful intro to Bible classes, but our nikud comes from the Chachmei HaMasora in the 10th century. The way that it was written dates back earlier, but the way that it was pronounced was never recorded formally in writing. It was only passed on orally, tradition. But in the 10th century, the Masoretic scholars who were based in Tveria, the two schools, Ben Asher, Ben Naphtali, recorded it in what is now called the codices. They codified it in their different codexes, which we have two or more remaining. One in Leningrad, one that was in Aleppo, and now in Eretz Yisrael, which is incomplete. The only complete codex that we have dating back to the times of Ben Osher is the Leningrad codex, which is available online. And the Aleppo codex, which is presumed to be more correct, that Ben Osher edited himself, that is missing many pages, because when it came from Aleppo to Eretz Yisrael, right after 1948, part of it got lost or burned or was taken, whatever. It's a mystery what happened to those pages. But a lot of it is, particularly Chumash, is missing. A few pages we have, but most of Chumash is gone. So that was the first time that the Nikud was recorded in writing. Until then, it was an oral tradition. The question is, why did these people record it? Why did they take such time for centuries to record it? So Dr. Revel, who was the first president of Yeshiva, claimed in his doctoral thesis that it's because they were Karaites. They were Karoim. So they, in fact, the Karaites, which exist today, they still exist today, they have a Torah reading on Shabbos morning where they read out of a codex. A codex is just a fancy word for a book, just just means it's bound as opposed to a scroll. So they read out of a codex, which has nekudos in it. So perhaps, he argued, that's why these scholars were so busy writing everything down, because they were Karaites, and they only observed the Torah Shavuot Sav. They ignored the Torah Shavuot Peh, like the Tzedukim, the Machlokas and scholars, whether the Karaites are just a modern manifestation of the Tzedukim, who deny Torah Shavuot Peh, or whether they are an unrelated movement. But either way, he claimed that the Masoretic scholars, that the Karaites were related to earlier Tzedukim, and that perhaps the Masoretic scholars were in fact Karaites. In modern scholarship, this is still debated. Many people feel they were Karaites. More religious people feel that they were not Karaites, because if they were Karaites, we have a problem. And that our whole system of Nikud, the way we're pronouncing, is really based on the research that was done by Karaitic scholars in the 10th century. Fascinatingly enough, our Mikros Gedolos, which is based on a 16th century Italian manuscript, was also edited by a Christian, not by a Jew. So it's funny that this is where our Masorah on how to pronounce the words in the Chumash comes from, is either from the Karaites or from a Christian editor in the in Venice in the 1500s. But either way, it's generally assumed, most assume that they were not Karaites. Some continue. The issue is still debated. Ada Yom Hazeh. So that was the first time that Nikud was recorded. That's what's known as, we call Masorah in the Gemara, it's referred to as Mikra, the way that it's pronounced. We call it the Masoretic scholars. That's why it's confusing a little bit. But in the way that the Gemara refers to it, Masorah means the way that it's written, not the way that it's pronounced. So the way that it's pronounced for us is Basukos, 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 which is all in the plural, but that's not the way that it's written. The way that it's written is Basukas, Basukas, Basukos, which according to the Rabbanan, who feel that perhaps the way that it's written is more credible perhaps than the way that it's pronounced, so they feel that that tells us that we need four, the word sukkah is mentioned in the Torah four times in that parasha and parasha Zemar. So Rabbanan, getting back, Rabbanan Savayesh Eim L'Masayres Basukas, Basukas, Basukais Harekan Arba, that's four times the word sukkah is mentioned in parasha Zemar. Dalcha L'Gufei, you need one just to teach us that there's a mitzvah of sukkah. So the first time cannot be used for a drasha. Pasha lehutlasa. So therefore, we have three remaining. And shtaim, but we also have halacha l'mayishim misinai. Shiur and chatzitin mechitzin. Halacha l'mayishim misinai. So shtaim kilchasa, and the two are proper walls. Va'asa hilchasa v'garasa l'shlishis v'ukma tevach. And the halacha l'mayishim misinai reduced the third mechitza to a tefach. But Reb Shimon Sarayesh Eim LeMikra, Reb Shimon holds we give more credence, not to the way that it's written, but to the way that it's pronounced. And it's pronounced Basukais, 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 which is six. So Basukais, 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 Reikan Sheish, Da'achad Kura LeGufei. One of the Basukais has to be used in order to teach us there's a mitzvah of Sukkah. So two are off the table. Pashuluhu arba, that remains four that are open for drushes. Shalosh kilchasan asai, so you need three walls. Asai hilchsa v'garasa levirus v'ukma tefach, and Allah HaMashem Yisini reduced the fourth wall to a tefach. So that's why Rav Shimon feels it's three mechitzas and the fourth could be a tefach. Yeah.
Where is the location of Zukkah that talk about
Zukkah? Parshas Emor.
Yeah,
the mitzvahs of the Yamim Tovim are in Parshas Emor. The Kavana is in Parshas Pinchas, usually. There's a few exceptions to that rule, but yeah, there's a general rule. Then it's repeated again in Parshas Re, but the two primary Parshas Amoradim, Parshas Emor, Parshas Pinchas. One is the mitzvahs, one is the Kavanas. Okay, so then the Gemara continues. Vibais Ema, to Kuli Alma, or the Gemara says, I'll tell you what they're arguing about is the following. Yesh Eim LeMikra, everybody holds that the way that it is pronounced is the is more credence in the way that it's written. So we have six. One hold you need. So really we have four sukkos from which we could darshan from. So why does one hold it's three and a tefach, one hold it's two and a tefach? Because according to the Rabbanan, you need one pasuk for the schach. That also deserves a pasuk. Umar sover schach aloy baikra. Reb Shimon holds the schach doesn't require a pasuk, so therefore he has three in a tefach. The Rabbanan have two in a tefach. Vibai same the kuli alma yeshem the mesiris. No, maybe I'll tell you everybody holds yeshem the mesiris. There's greater credence, a preference given to the way that it is written. So we only have We have four in the Torah. V'halkum if we can hear what they're arguing about. Mar savar. One holds the lachum. So we only have three open for drushes. One we need for the pasuk itself, you know, the mitzvah itself. So we have three open for drushes. One holds the lachum of Sinai comes to minimize the amount of walls that you need. One holds there are three in the Torah. You have to halachum of Sinai added a fourth wall. Everyone holds halacha Moshe Misina comes to minimize the requirements. V'yeshem the Masayras, and everybody holds this preference given to the way that it is written. V'hacha, so really then, what does that mean? We have three. It should have been three. V'hacha b'darshin tchilos come if we, you know, one holds. We don't need a pasuk to teach us the original mitzvah. Marasava darshan tchilus, marasava ain darshan tchilus. One holds we have four possible words for drasha, or basukas, basukois. So we have four. Marasava ain darshan tchilus. You can't darshan the first pasuk which teaches you about a mitzvah. That is off limits. And the only therefore opportunities we have to darshan are the three sukkos, and therefore we have two in a tefach. And the one that holds you can darshan from the original pasuk has three in a tefach. Okay, so. Gemara goes back and forth about what they're really arguing about, but one of the svaras that Gemara suggests, which features prominently in our sugya, is this machlekes, which receives greater credence. Yesh em l'mikra, yesh em l'mesayres, and I would suggest most people interpret this Gemara as it's a machlekes about which is more correct. Is it more correct the way that it's written, or is it more correct the way that it's pronounced? That is a problematic, though. To interpret the machlekes in that fashion about which is more correct, the way that it's written or the way that it's pronounced, is difficult. Why? Because look at Tosis over here, different mass of Rabbi Shimon. We're not going to see the whole thing, but just the first few lines. Tosis writes an astounding statement, which if you didn't put it in context, you might miss it. Tosis says, "Kulhu moldu didarshinan mikra u'mesiras." Let's get this off the table. Everybody holds we darshin mikra and mesiras. Done. We all agree to both of them. It wasn't written this way gratuitously, and it wasn't pronounced this way gratuitously. And we're not getting involved in whether or not the Masoretic scholars perform their job correctly or not. Let's assume it's all correct. We banish Shalom, preserve the Messiah through whatever means necessary. We have in our hands the correct way that it's written, the correct way to certain, you know, the degree. The Gemara says in Kiddushin already, we're missing certain vavs and things. But for the most part, it's written correctly, and for the most part, pronounced correctly. That's not the machlekes here. What then is the machlekes? Kuhu moidu didarshina mikra mesaretz, delay achinam nichtav kain. It wasn't written this way gratuitously. Ela b'milza de mishkachi ahadadi pligi, de mikrashi ahadadi pligi. What are they arguing about? Where the two contradict each other. Where the Mikra contradicts the Mesiras contradicts the Mikra. The Ma'asavar Mikra Ikar, Kedashkan Rebbe Kiva, and one holds the Mesiras Ikar. One holds we give preference when they contradict each other, one holds we give preference to the Mikra, one holds we give preference to the Mesiras. But in fact, both are correct. And this shot of Tosis, or this suggestion of Tosis, that everyone holds both are correct, is really found in the Gemara Masechet Sota. Look at the Gemara Masechet Sota here, Rabbi Yisrael. Because what we're really talking about, Mikra and Mesira, that's what the Gemara is calling it, is really what we would call, in modern Kriyas HaTorah language, we would call it a Kri and a Ksiv, which is primary. The Kri, the way that it's read, or the ksiv, the way that it's written. That's what the Gemara calls the Mikra and the Mesiras. So look at the Gemara Masechta Sota. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota, Amar Yitzchak, Mikra Soifrim, the way that Soifrim pronounced the Torah, Itor Soifrim, sometimes they added a word in order to make it sound better, Kriyan Velo Ksivin, or if it's read but not written, Ksivin Velo Kriyan, or if it's written but not read, all of these things are Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So the Kri and the Ksiv are in fact the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that both are correct. Both are true. It's supposed to be written one way, pronounced a different way. Neither one is a mistake. The Radak writes throughout, in different places throughout Tanakh, that the Kri and the Ksiv were two competing traditions, and we wanted to account for both, so we used one for a Ksiv and one for a Kri. But really one is right and one is wrong. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara tells us both were halacha l'moishim Sinai, both the way that it's written, both the way that it's pronounced. They're not competing Maseiras because we forgot. Both of these were meant. One was meant to be written, one was meant to be pronounced. That's halacha l'moishim Sinai. In fact, the Beis Yosef writes, that's why, and the biggest philosophical question facing bar mitzvah boys is, why aren't there nekudos in the Sefer Torah? Why do we have to do this, jump through hoops to memorize all of the nekudos in the trap? So the Beis Yosef explains, in Hilcha Sefer Torah, in the name of a Truvas HaMiuchasas LaRamban, Nosan Tam Lifsol Sefer Torah Menukad, why is the Sefer Torah that has nekudos written in it? Paso, Mishum De'ein Lanu Ela Kinesinasa Misinai. We had the Torah that we read from has to be preserved in the same way it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. Since it was given without nekudos, we preserve it without nekudos. Rabbeinu Yerucham explains a little bit further. Chinkas Rabbeinu Yerucham, Sefer Torah Menukad Pasol. They agree about the bottom line. Said a Sefer Torah that's Menukad is Pasol, but he explains more. Kiyesh Aim Lemikra Ula Mesiris. Both are correct. And guess what will happen if you write nekudos in? If you write nekudos in, you're going to be excluding either the mikra, you'll be minimizing the way that it's ksiv. If you emphasize the yesh aim the mikra by putting in the nekudos, you'll be losing out or minimizing the mesiris. We wanted it to be vague because it's supposed the mesiris is important and the mikra is important. So in order to account for both, it has to be written without nekudos. It could be read besukas. Could be read basukos. See, even though it's written basukas, we pronounce it basukos. It's both are true. We need both. It's not that one is right and one is wrong. It's we want to allow for both, and since we want to allow for both, we write it without nekudos. That was one of the initial oppositions to translating the Gemara. We don't appreciate it in our time. I mean, in your generation, you grew up with it. When I was your age, it didn't. It was just starting. Is the art scroll translations on the Gemara. When I was your age, it was just Makis. That was it. And so if you made a Messiah my Makis, it didn't mean anything. You learned the art scroll. But that was the only Mesechta that there was Makis. Every yeshiva was learning Makis. That was the only Mesechta that there was. Then over time, they got more. But if you ever look in the initial art scroll translations to the Gemara, they have a million haskamas. A million. From every person or smicha in the world, they have a haskama. Why? Because this was a highly controversial undertaking to do. There were many attempts throughout history to translate the Gemara in the last 300 or 400 years. And most of them met with severe opposition. Chassam Sofer was tricked into giving a haskama to one, and then he backed out. If you could research it, the history of translations to the Talmud met with fierce opposition. Steinsaltz, even what he did in translating into Hebrew, there was other reasons why he was attacked. But one of the reasons why he was attacked is because just the innovation itself was something that people found disturbing. What was so disturbing about translating the Gemara? So the Chassam Sofer explains, after he retracted his Haskama to this one Shas that he gave his Haskama to, which he was fooled, he was told, your Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler already gave his Haskama. So we just want you to sign on, but your Rebbe already gave his Haskama. That was the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler. But it wasn't true. They lied to him. Rav Nosson Adler never gave his Haskama. So when the Chassam Sofer found out, he pulled his Haskama also. But anyway, one of the oppositions that the Chassam Sofer had is because you minimize the possible interpretations of the Gemara. Let's say Rashi is one interpretation. Tosis has another interpretation. So what are you going to do in the English translation? Rashi or Tosis? You're going to have to pick a side. Who are we to decide between Rashi and Tosis who's more correct? So what did the art school do? The art school came up with a wonderful suggestion. How could they sidestep that problem? The biggest, the best part of the whole art school. The footnotes. So we have footnotes. So Rashi is in the body of the text. Sometimes Tosis is in the body of the text. And then you account for the other sheet that's in the footnotes. That was how they attempted to mitigate that problem. That was one of the oppositions. The Shas, because you're minimizing the amount of interpretation. So too, if we put nekudos in Sefer Torah, you minimize, you'd have to pick a team. Is it the decree or the ksiv? And the Torah is written deliberately without nekudos in order to allow for both, because both are indeed correct. One minute. If both are correct, what then is the machlekes that the Gemara seems to assume is this tremendous sweeping machlekes yesh em lemikra yesh em lemaseiras. If both are correct, the Tosfos without Nekudos could want to account for both. Both halach lemaish misinai. What then is this critical machlekes about yesh em lemikra or yesh em lemaseiras? If both are true, how can we possibly give preference to one over the other? This is a similar problem in the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia with regards to a related issue. The Gemara tells Maseches Bava Metzia also a running machlekes, which appears elsewhere too, and that is whether or not Dibra Torah Kilshayin B'nei Adam. Does the Torah speak like people? Meaning, will it just use a way of speaking, but it's not meant to be exact? Or, like I say, how are you? I really don't want to know how you are. It's just basically like saying good morning or good afternoon or nice to see you. If you actually, you know, get involved in answering how are you, you say, well, you know, so then people lose interest. It's just a manner of speech. So does the Torah use manner of speeches? Or is everything in the Torah meant to be taken entirely literally? Does it conform to the manner of speech that perhaps existed at the time? So that's Machlekes in the Gemara. Dibra Torah Kalashon B'nei Adam, Alo Dibra Torah Kalashon B'nei Adam. Where does it come up? Primarily with regards to repeated words in the Torah. Does the Torah repeat a word for emphasis? Like when I want to say something, I want to show you that I mean it, I repeat it again. So does the Torah do that just for emphasis? Or is every time the Torah says something, if it's repeated, it's coming to teach me an additional halacha? Dibra Torah Kosheim B'nei Adam, does the Torah repeat words for emphasis like we do? Or no, the Torah is written in a more exact fashion and not mirroring the way that we would speak. So Gemara discusses the Pasuk as a test case, and Gemara discusses the Pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. The Pasuk says, Ki pasech tiftach es yadcha, you should open up your hand to a person who's in need. Havei tavitenu deimach saray asher yasalo. Lend him, or if you can't lend him, give him. If you can't give him, you should lend him. If you can do more, give him deimach saray, that which he's missing, enough that he's missing, asher yasalo, to fill the void that he has. So the Pasuk there repeats, Havei tavitenu, like mois yumas. He shall surely die. That's the literal translation. So is that meant for emphasis, or is it coming to teach us an additional halacha? So Gemara says it's teaching us an additional halacha, and the Gemara goes through every time the Torah repeats something, what is it coming to teach me? So Gemara says, Havei taviten was coming to teach me something, Eli Ella, like the pasuk, Hashav Teshivim, by Hashav HaSaveda, even if the same guy is a forgetful guy and he loses the item a million times, I have to keep returning it to him. Even though he's a Layitzloch, I have to keep returning him the item. So too, over here, the Gemara said, that's what it's coming to teach me, that it's written twice, Afilu Me'a Pa'amin. Hecheach Techiach HaSamisecha, I have to give Techacha to my friend. Why is it repeated twice? Afilu Me'a Pa'amin. I have to give him Techacha as long as he's interested in hearing me. So the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, what about Havei Tavitenu? What does that come to teach me? Says the Gemara, Ein Li Ela She'ein Loi. I only know he doesn't have, Ve'ein HaRoitz Lis Parnes. He doesn't want to, he doesn't want to go to work either. But L'maisa, he doesn't have. So I'm Rachman, Tein Loi Derech Hava. Give it to him as a loan. Give it to him. Go work and pay me back. You should give him as a loan. The Maisi doesn't have. But he can work, but he doesn't want to work. Fine, give him a loan. What about Yeshloi? The guy has money. Ain't a right to this parnes. He doesn't want to use it. Or he has the ability to work and he doesn't want to work. Then perhaps the original one was he wasn't able to work. Ain't loy. But what about Yeshloi? Vein right to this parnas. He has, but he doesn't want to use it, or he doesn't want to support himself. Minai Tamala, how do you know you have to help him out? Tamalaimar Tavi Tenu Mikol Makom. Give tzedakah even if he doesn't need it. You have to give him tzedakah if he's asking. But Reb Shimon disagrees. That's the way we paskin. Reb Shimon, Damar Yesh, Levin Arez, Liz Parnas, and his Kakalai. Guys, his own money, he can work for himself, and he's asking me for tzedakah, I don't have to help him out. No. Go get your own job. And the collecting stuck is Nishkin job. That's not cool. If your job is collecting stuck, that's not a job. Fine. So Gemara says, you don't have to. What then? Tavi tenu lamuli. Why is the Pasuk repeated twice? Because Reb Shimon holds, Dibra Torah Kilshayin B'nei Adam, the Torah speaks like we speak, and it used it for emphasis. It's an important mitzvah. Get tzedakah, so the Torah repeated it twice. Not to darshan. Says Tosfos, 1 minute. Here, if Shimon holds Dibra Torah Kilshayin B'nei Adam, but we have another Gemara, Vim Taimar. Darish Nami Reb Shimon, Aser Ta Aser. Pasuk says, by Meiser, you should do it twice. Aser Ta Aser is called Tuaz Zarecha, Yotzi Asad Ashad Ashana. should give Maaser, but the Torah repeats it twice, Aser to Aser. You shall surely give Maaser, but why is it repeated twice? Echon Maaser Dagon, Echon Maaser Behema. You have to give Maaser from your animals and Maaser from your produce. That's what it's coming to teach me. And who is that? Who said that? Reb Shimon. I thought Reb Shimon holds Dibur Torah Kosham and Eilam. The Torah repeats things just for emphasis. How could he darshan out Echon Maaser Dagon, Echon Maaser Behema? The Yeshloimah says Tais is the Dafka Hachabahani Trey Kroy Amin and Dibur Torah Kosham and Eilam. Only here. In this situation, as Reb Shimon feel Dibur Torah Kosham and Eilam, the Muchach Kroy Dechsiv De Machzeroy. Because it contradicts the second half of the Pasuk. What's the second half of the Pasuk? Have Tavitenu De Machzeroy. Enough to fill that which he's missing. This guy's not missing anything. He has his own money. He could support himself. So Reb Shimon says, you can't darshan Have Tavitenu to tell me I have to give tzedakah to every person, even if he's not in need, when the Pasuk says, De Machzeroy, he's in need. So Tosfos again is arguing, Reb Shimon agrees that you can darshan repeated words, but not if it contradicts the Pasuk itself. The Pasuk says, De Machzeroy. So therefore, Reb Shimon is forced into a corner and he says, Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam. Here, in this situation, must be Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam. And that's why it's repeated. Okay? But in another situation, Aser to Aser, Shimon darshans, Echa Maisa Dogan, Echa Maisa Behema. Here, he's boxed into a corner, because if you're going to darshan, Aveit Avitenu to everybody, but it says, Deim Achzeroy, that he has to be missing something. You can't darshan to include someone who's not missing. So on the side of that Tosfos, there's a Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilui Hashas. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes him a Mizrahi. Mizrahi, Rabbi Elio Mizrahi, is one of the commentaries on Rashi and Chumash. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, look in the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi asks a question on this Tosfos. He says, I don't understand. 1 minute. Does Reb Shimon feel Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam or not? Obviously, yes. Because Havei Tavitenu, he says, don't darshan to include everybody, even a guy who doesn't eat. Rather, Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam, says the Rebbe Mizrahi. If Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam, that means that the Torah uses repeated words for emphasis, how can Reb Shimon ever darshan double words? Taisa says Reb Shimon darshans double words unless it's contradicted by the Pasuk. If it's contradicted by the Pasuk, he doesn't darshan, then he's backed into a corner, Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam. But you can't do that. If Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam, the Torah repeats words for emphasis like we do, so then how can you ever darshan double words? You can't say, I'll darshan double words if I can't. Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam. Torah speaks in for emphasis. Well, which is it? Does the Torah speak for emphasis or are double words extra? That's the question of the Mizrahi. So Mizrahi explains an important yesod which answers our Tosfos too. Mizrahi explains the following. He says, Reb Shimon believes Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam. The Torah repeats words for emphasis just like we do. To mimic our language, to make it understandable to us. However, at the same time, Reb Shimon feels that whenever we can darshan something, we should do so. Wherever you can make a drasha to make an additional halacha or to teach us something new. It's a wrinkle in the text. If you can have a justification for it, good, do so. And darshan, kol hecha de'ikah le'medrash darshinon. Wherever we can make a drasha, we make a drasha. He says, you can't, if the pasuk contradicts it, the pasuk says, de machzeroy, he has to be missing something, this is not the direction to go in. Have a tavitenu to tell me you have to support even a guy who could support himself. Can't be, that's the pshat. So Reb Shimon says, okay, so Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam. He always agreed Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam. But by Aser to Aser, where he has a justification for it besides Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam, even though it's true Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam, if you can make a drasha, you should make a drasha. Yeah, we're going to explain it more, but yeah. Okay, we'll explain it more. He uses this to explain, justify one of the most famous Rashis in all of Chumash. Rashi tells us at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Avram Avinu the first of the Asar, according to most, the first of the Asar Nesyonis, which is Lecha Me'aretz Me'aretzchem Be'Savicha Aretz Asher Eka, to travel to Eretz Yisrael. Why does the Pasuk say it twice, Lech Lecha? You should go, not twice, but why the double Lamed Ches, Lamed Chaf? You should go, Lech Lecha, for yourself. What does Rashi say? Lehana Aska, the Tevaska. Most people, when they travel, their reputation diminishes, their wealth diminishes, their family suffers. You won't suffer at all. You're going to only prosper from going to Eretz Yisrael. Will only be for your benefit. That's Rashi. Says the Ramban, Ramban asks on Rashi, you can't do that. Ramban says on Rashi, look over here, second line. Ein soirech, ki mishpat haloshen came. We find the Torah adds a lecha all over the place. In fact, there's another lech lecha in the Torah. Where is this? One other lech lecha, Rabbi? Does anybody know? One other time the Ibn Shalom actually says to Avram Avinu, lech lecha. By lech lecha el har hamoria, at the time of the Akedas Yitzchak, also lech lecha. Rashi there does not darshan. L'tayvascha u'lana ascha, it will be for your benefit. Only here. And so too says Ramban, the Torah throws in lechaz all over the place. And he gives you numerous examples. So he says, you can't make a drush out of this lech lecha. Like what, lech lecha? Oh, lecha, for you, l'tayvascha u'lana ascha. Rashi wakes up, says Ramban, the Torah does this all the time. Mishpit haloshen. That's the way the Torah speaks. So the Mizrahi explains Rashi. Mizrahi is always there to explain, justify Rashi. And Chumash, the Gur Aryeh, also the Maral's commentary was written as a commentary on Rashi. So the Mizrahi writes, Mikol Makom, even though the Ramban is correct, the Mukhaki cry Amin and Dibur Tokel, Shem Ben Yad, the moment we're boxed into a corner, we're going to say, you're right, Mishpat HaLoshen came. That's the way the Torah speaks. L'hoi lehem l'idrash heich lo Mukhaki, came in Shederach HaLoshen Kenu. The Torah does speak that way. Nonetheless, Kohecha the Ika the Medrash Dashinon. If we could have a drasha to explain why the Torah says Lecha, you can make a drasha. It's a wrinkle. The Torah, we could justify based on Mishpat HaLoshen Kenu, that's the way the Torah speaks. But if you can make a drasha, says the Mizrahi. That's not objectionable. In fact, that's the way the Torah functions. If you can make a drasha, make a drasha. So he explains that's the pshat and why Rashi says Lecha, L'tayvascha, no, Aska, Rashi found. Over here, based on the ensuing psukim, which describe how Avraham Avinu was going to prosper in Eretz Yisrael, that the Ribbono Shel Olam was hinting to him here that this will be for your benefit, and that's why the Chaz repeated. Even though it could have been justified Mishpat HaLoshen Kenhu, as Ramban says, but nonetheless, if we can make a drasha, we can make a drasha. So too, even though Reb Shimon feels Dibur Torah Kol Shein B'nei Adam, if you can make a drasha, you make a drasha. Yeah.
So it always bothered me why when Sarah dies, it says.
And elsewhere doesn't comment.
Exactly.
Yeah? Maybe. Others have other terutzim. If you could give a better... Your teretz is the lowest teretz, meaning we have no choice. So we say, okay, here we had a drasha, there we don't have a drasha. Others explain why by Yishmael, for example, why only by Sarah does it give that kind of drasha. The Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, in his collected writings, which much of it is a response to... Gratz, who was first of the Reform scholars, so he uses a similar argument in justifying Rabbi Kiva's Derech of Drush, Derech of Darshaning Psukim. Because Gratz argued that Rabbi Shmuel, Torah was much more confined in the times of the early Tanoim. Rabbi Shmuel, how many midos were there Shatar Nidreshes by him in the times of Rabbi Shmuel? 13. And Rishmael expanded upon what existed beforehand. Beforehand, there was some other Tanoim held different numbers. We repeat every day the Brais of Rishmael. Other Tanoim held the other Midah Shatar Nidreshes by him, less. Rishmael holds 13. Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidreshes by him. Then Gratz said, Rabbi Kiva came and he changed everything. It all of a sudden became Chsidus. We're darshaning Vavs and we're darshaning Kaitzim on top of the letters and we're darshaning every S in the Torah. Where did this come from? He says, this is a distortion of what the Torah looked like in the time of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was a common sense individual. He says, you know, Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidreshes B'Hem, all based on the rules of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And here, Rabbi Kiva is coming and he's opening the floodgates for Torah Shebaal Peh, way beyond that which was ever intended by Rabbi Shmuel. That was Gratz's argument. So, because we do find, the Gemara says in Maseches Menachos, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Torah, accepting the Torah in Har Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu asked him to write the crowns on top of the letters. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Mi ma'akav al yadcha, why are you asking me to do this?" Rabbi Shalom said, "Because it'll be a time of Chacham generations later." Rabbi Kiva udarsh and tilei tilim shel halachos from these targum, from these crowns on the top of the letters. Or the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim Chav Beis Mebeis that there was a Tana Shimon Ha'am Suni, Shimonam Suni Haiderish Ko S in Shabbat Torah. Every time the Torah says S, he darshan something new. Until he got to the pasuk S Hashem Alakecha Tira, and you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What could possibly be equated or added to fearing the Ribbono Shel Olam and Upiresh? He gave up the whole methodology and he scrapped the whole thing. He said, "Kishem shkibalti schar drisha kacha kabel schar prisha." Just like I got the schar for darshing the halachas, I'll get schar for removing the halachas. Saying something is wrong and false is also Torah. Saying something is wrong. So he said, "Okay, I'll say it's wrong." That's also part of limud haTorah, is removing things that are incorrect. Until Rabbi Kiva came, v'darash as Hashem alakecha tira the rabbis talmidei chachamim. To equate the covet of due to Talmidei, or fear due to Talmidei Chachamim, with that of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So everyone asks, why is it only Rebbe Kiva? Why couldn't Shimon Ben Suni figure that out? So if Gifter has a fantastic answer, which is, no one could fathom that the covet of a Talmud Chacham was equated with that of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when Rebbe Kiva saw Shimon Ben Suni giving up his whole life's work because he couldn't figure out anything to be equated with the covenant of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he was so impressed by that he said, it had to be after Shimon Ben Suni, because he was after witnessing the Mesiras Nefesh of Shimon Ben Suni. Okay. But it's not only in this instance, it's always Rebbe Kiva to the rescue, who's making drushes that no one else is making. Why is it only Rebbe Kiva? Why is it only Rebbe Kiva? But either way, so the Rebbe Shimon of Frau Hirsch says, this is not something that was Gratz's kasha, so it sounds like it's only Rebbe Kiva. So Rebbe Shimon of Frau Hirsch explains that no, it's not only Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva was able to find drushes for these things, and no one else was able to find drushes for them. But you're right, Kohecha the Ikel, the Medrash Darshinan. This is not a chidush that Rebbe Kiva had, that nobody else had. Everybody was looking to darshan the S. Everybody was looking to darshan the Kaitzim. No one else could figure out what to darshan, except for Rebbe Kiva. But it's Kohecha the Ikel, the Medrash Darshinan. It's not that Rebbe Shmuel rejected the methodology of Rebbe Kiva. No. He didn't know what to darshan, so he didn't darshan. But that doesn't mean that he disagreed. There was no machlekes. Kohecha the Ikel, the Medrash Darshinan. Rebbe Shimon Frau Hirsch makes a similar argument to Mizrahi. Taka, parenthetically, why is it that it was only Rebbe Kiva? So the Ksav Sofer has an unbelievable explanation in his drushes. Ksav Sofer explains that it's because Rebbe Kiva learned from his previous experience. The Avos Rav Nosson tells us Rebbe Kiva until the age of 40 was an Am Haaretz. And when he became 40, he had his whole epiphany after watching the water pound away at the stone. You know, everyone knows that. So when he was 40, he decided to begin learning. But the first 40 years of his life, he was an Am Haaretz. Not only was he an Am Haaretz, he was a Sainei Talmidei Chachamim. The Gemara says in the Sefer Psachim, Ksubis, the Rebbe Kiva said, whoever would give me a Talmud Chacham, I would have, when I was an Am Haaretz, I would have bitten him like a donkey. And the Talmidim said, like a donkey? Why not like a dog? So he said, the dog bites and doesn't break bones, a donkey bites and breaks bones. I hated Talmidei Chachamim so much, I would have bitten them and broke their bones. So he was an Am Haaretz till the age of 40, and he hated Talmidei Chachamim. So says the Ksav Sofer, when Rebbe Kiva did tshuva, and he began to learn Torah, he didn't forget about his past experiences. He used them, he built upon them, he learned from them, he used them as motivation to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam better. So everyone else who learned Torah, we learned Torah our whole lives. We went to day school, we went to this yeshiva, that yeshiva. We get so tired from seeing things. The kites on the top of the letters don't impact us. Rebbe Kiva was like, you know, wide-eyed. Everything was new. I wasted 40 years of my life. Everything in Torah must be important. So he said the Targum also, and he darshan halachas. And he hated Talmidei Chachamim in his previous, the first 40 years of his life. So because of that, he had the one who began to learn Torah from other Talmidei Chachamim. He had a new appreciation for Talmidei Chachamim. So it was Davka Rebbe Kiva who said, "Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim." He didn't run away from his past. He learned from his past. He built upon his past, and therefore he was more sensitized to things. You find this all the time. We see this in our times all the time. About tshuva, oftentimes will take Yiddishkeit much more seriously than those who are FBs, because it's new, and there's a greater appreciation for things that sometimes some of us take for granted. So Rebbe Kiva had that, the first BT, I guess. So he had that perspective, and therefore everything in Torah was more important. The covenant of Talmidei Chacham was even greater in his eyes, and he was able to make these drushes that no one else was able to make. But not because he had a different methodology than Rebbe Shmuel. It's because he learned based on his past. That's what the Ksav Sofer says. The Gemara means in Maseches Yuma, G'dayla Tshuva She Me'ava, discussing Tshuva Me'ava, a person does Tshuva Me'ava, G'dayla Tshuva She Zedoynas Nasen Lo Kizchuyos. Averos that we did intentionally can become mitzvahs. As opposed to Tshuva Me'ira, that G'dayla Tshuva She Zedoynas Nasen Lo Kizchuyos. So why should there be such a difference? How, first of all, how could it be that an aveir will ever become a mitzvah? So the Ksav Sofer explains that it's because when a person does Shuvah Meira, the Meiri already says something like this, when a person does Shuvah Meira, he runs away from the past. He runs away from the past. That wasn't me! Good. So then all the aveiros you did are not you. They were done anonymously. And the Zodain became a Shoigek. But if you do Tshuva Me'ava, that's not a person who runs away from the past. He attempts to do what? To build upon the past. Well, if you build upon the past, then your past experiences can be used as motivation to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam better in the future. Then you're the Dainas and Asim like Kitzchuyos. Rabbi Kiva's time as an Amma Aretz, his time of hating Talmid Chachamim, wasn't that somebody, he forgot about it, made it like somebody else, he was a new person. He learned from that and used it as motivation for the future. Then Zedainas Nasim Lo Kitzchuyos. That's what Tshuva Me'ava is all about, is that a person can take aveiros from the past and turn them into mitzvahs for the future. We just finished Sukkot, so I can't ignore it. When the pasuk describes Sukkot in Parashas Emor, "Ulekachtem lochem b'yom harishon," you should take the dalaminim on the first day. So the Medrash comments, why is this the first day of? It's not the first day of Tishrei. It's the first day of Sukkot, but it's not the first day of Tishrei. Why is it called b'yom harishon? The Medrash says, the first day, Yom Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos, the first day of counting of Aveiros for the following year, is when? The first day of Sukkot. That's when the accounting for Aveiros begins to accrue. It's on the for the new year, is from the first day of Sukkot. So the Taz, the Tur, quotes this in Hilchos Sukkah. Why? I don't know. It doesn't belong in Hilchos Sukkah. The Taz doesn't quote Medrash Haggadahs, but he quotes this one. So the Taz on Shulchan Aruch asks on the Torah, asks on the Medrash, what about the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot? We do Aveiros then. So the Taz says, no one has time to do Aveiros those few days. We would like to, we just don't have time. We're so busy getting a Dalit meaning, constructing the Sukkot, we don't have time to do Aveiros. That's what he says. That's a very pessimistic approach, you know. The Torah is telling us, when are you going to start counting your Aveiros? Start counting on Sukkot. That's, you know, fatalistic, really. The Torah is telling us when to break out our ledgers for Aveiros. So Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Barditcha, takes a much more optimistic, uplifting, encouraging approach. They know what it means is not when we start counting the Averis for the coming year, but it's the time when the Averis from the previous year start to become mitzvahs. We are Mishon Lecheshman Avonos when we start taking the Averis from the previous year and turning them into mitzvahs through tshuva, not Meira, but tshuva Me'ahava. During the Yamim Noiraim, we did Tshuva Meira, we're afraid, and we're running away from the past, that wasn't me, it was somebody else. Come Sukkot, we do Tshuva Me'ahava, not Tshuva Meira. And what happens with Tshuva Me'ahava? You can take the Averis of the past and transform them into motivation for the future that makes them into mitzvahs. Yom Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos, when does Tshuva Me'ahava begin? On the first day of Sukkot. When we take the Averis of the past and turn them into mitzvahs. In fact, they quote from the Ari HaKadosh, that have one of the midas of the sukkah we just got through saying, Shtayim Kilchasan, to the right angle, Shlishis Afilu Tefach. They quote in the name of the Ari. He says, if you look at your hands, that's the way it's shaped. You have Shtayim Kilchasan, to the right angle, your hands, Shlishis Afilu Tefach. The sukkah is a big hug. It's an embrace from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chabad loves this, Pshat. But anyway, then it's a big embrace, it's the Ari HaKadosh. It's an embrace from the Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, Ahava is Gematria 13. There's 7 days of Sukkot, 7 times 13, 91, the gematria of the Sukkah. The Sukkah is a big Ahava. Expression of Ahava from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's when the process of Tshuva Me'ahava begins, is on Sukkot. That's when we begin to take Averis from the past and turn them into mitzvahs. The Beis Ephraim asks a fantastic question. What is the Eitz Hadas? What type of tree was the Eitz Hadas? We just read Parashas Bereishis. Everyone's talking about Parashas. What tree was the Eitz Hadas? So Gemara has three opinions. Geffen, either maybe it was a grape vine. Chita, a wheat stalk, not really a tree. Or a te'ena, fig tree, because they cover themselves in fig leaves. In fact, the Gra says he didn't have the mitten, says the Maaser Rav, the Gra would not eat grapes during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, because one opinion was the Eitz Hadas was a grape vine. And Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar, the Kohen Gadol doesn't do the Avoda and the Kodesh HaKadosh, and wearing the golden garments, because that an object was used for an Avera can't lobby on our behalf. So the Kohen Gadol, whenever he walks in the Kodesh HaKadosh, has to switch his garments to the white garments. He can't wear the golden garments because it arouses the memory of the Ribbono Shel Olam to the Chet HaEgel. Fine. So the Gra didn't eat grapes. But there's another opinion in the Medrash. What type of tree was it? Everybody knows. What type of tree was it?
True.
Esrog tree. In fact, the Balaturim Azariah. Because how is the Eitz Hadas described? As pre ha'etz. Pre-Eitz. Just pre-Eitz. What is the only other fruit described in all of Hamish Achum Sheitar as pre-Eitz? Pre-Eitz Hadar. The Esrog. Fine. Maybe it's an Esrog tree. So the base Ephraim. Is Ephraim or Ephraim Zalma Margolius? 1700s. Asked in the Akdama to his Chuvis, the base Ephraim. Excuse me. He asked, how can we use an Esrog then on Sukkos? En kategor, nasa senegor. This is the original sin. How can we take it and shake it before the Ribbono Shel Olam was saying, look at us, Eitz Hadas, look at us, Eitz Hadas. What happened to En kategor, nasa senegor? So Beis Ephraim says an unbelievable shot. He says, during the Yom Naram, we're running away from the past. No gold, no grapes, no Averis at all in front of us. Come Sukkos. It's Tshuva Me'ava. We take the Averis of the past. We don't run away from them. We build on them. We learn from them. To motivate ourselves how to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam better in the future. So it's Yom Rishon, the Cheshbon Avinus. He says, Yom Rishon, Sukkos describes the first day. Not only is it the first day of Tshuva Me'ava, we take our first Avera. What was the original sin? The Esrog. The only time the whole year we use an Esrog. To remind ourselves of the Eitz Hadas, not to forget about it, but to learn from it. To build upon it for the future. Ah, Geshmak. In fact, in the Sefer Balabas Eish, don't look it back. In the Sefer Balabas Eish, he says there are four things that are described by Chazal as Shlema, full. What's described as Shlema? You have Emunah Shlema, you have Tshuva Shlema, Refuah Shlema, we say you have a Refuah Shlema, or Geula Shlema. For Rosh Tevis, Esrog. Emunah Shlema, Tshuva Shlema, Refuah Shlema, Geula Shlema. The object of Tshuva Shlema is what the Esrog, because not only is it Tshuva Beira, we use the Esrog. It's a vehicle for Tshuva Me'ava. Fine. So getting back. The Mizrahi told us, wherever we can make a drasha, we darshan. Kohecha de'ika le'medrish darshinan. So even though Reb Shimon feels dibra Torah kelshayim b'nei adam, if you can make a drasha, you make a drasha. But what? Taisus told us, when can you not make a drasha? When does Reb Shimon feel you have to say dibra Torah kelshayim b'nei adam? If it contradicts the pasuk. Havei tavitenu. You want to say you have to support a guy who doesn't need it? The pasuk says, Dei machzeroi. That which he's lacking. Says Tosfos, you cannot make a drasha, or says Reb Shimon, you cannot make a drasha that contradicts the pasuk. Why? Because we have another rule. True, we have a rule, Kohecha de'ika le'medrash darshinan. Wherever we can make a drasha, we make a drasha. And that was Reb Akiva, was not innovating a new mahalach methodology in Derech HaLimud. Rabbi Shmuel agreed to that, just he wasn't able to be sensitive to all the drushes that the Kiva was sensitive to. But we also have a rule, that you cannot contradict Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's found in Gemara Masechta Shabbos. So, basically, look at this Gemara in Shabbos. Rav Kahana says, until I was 18 years old, I didn't know this, but there is a great rule in learning, Ein Mikra Yoytze Midei Pshutoi. Ein Mikra Yoytze Midei Pshutoi. Pasuk always has to maintain the literal meaning of the pasuk. How could it be he was 18 and he didn't know that? This is not that he first entered yeshiva at 18. He says, I learned until I was 18. Sounds like he learned ganshas. And I never heard ein mikra yaitz midei pshuta. How could it be? Don't they usually start teaching the children pshuta shel mikra? So some sefer writes in his comments on Parashas B'Shalach, no, you should not start teaching the child pshuta shel mikra. It's dangerous. This was something we only told the adults, Rav Kahana. When you reach maturity, less than 18, you finally became of age. Then they told him, by the way, this dirty secret, Ein Mikra Yoytze Midei Pshutoi. But he never knew that. Because the Gemara tells him, Masechtas Brachos, look over here, Ois Yud, B'tzavas or B'lazer, Minu B'neichem Min Ha'igoyon. Keep your children away from scholarship. Rather, Hashivim Bein Birkei Talmidei Chachamim. Where should you place them? Between the knees of figuratively, between the knees of Talmud Chacham. Rashi writes, Loi Sargilum, what does it mean? Menu b'nei chamin ha'igayon? Loi Sargilum, b'mikra yoysimidai. Not too much Tanakh. Mishum demashka. It's alluring. The Me'iri writes, don't teach them. Pshuto Shemikra, right? So let me turn a pasuk, Kamei Shehu, explain the pasuk as it is the literal interpretation. Rather, where should you place them? Tzarech Lishtalo, Shivim Tomei Ben Birkei Tamina Chachamim, so that they should learn what? They should learn Torah Shebaal Peh, together with the Chumash. Not to teach them Pshuto Shemikra right away. No, that was too dangerous. Now this, of course, was a reaction to the Tzdukim, to the Karoim, that already existed in the times of Chazal, who only adopted Torah Shebichsav. So if it was dangerous to teach him just Torah Shebichsav, it always had to be flavored, had to be brought together with Torah Shebaal Peh. But that was the way it was taught. That's why Rav Kahana didn't know this until he was 18. And this is true in our times as well. Look over here just at the last quotation. I gave you a few, but they all say the same thing. From the Chafetz Chaim, then from Reb Chaim. They quote in the name of Salvechik too, that when you're teaching children, you should always teach them together with the Torah Shebaal Peh. Later on, you want to get involved in Pshuto Shel Mikra, you get involved in Pshuto Shel Mikra, but it should always be taught together with the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the proper way. So Rav Kahana didn't know about this till he was 18. But Lamaisa, we all know the secret now. Some that Tzlach writes in his Hakdama to Shas, that's why a tractate, what do we call a tractate? Meseches. Why a meseches? Because what is described as mesachech, like the paroiches, with sechechim al-hakanfei ha'aron, didn't we have that pasuk earlier? Yeah, a few blad ago, that the paroiches covered over the aron and protected it. So too says the Tzlach, Torah Shebaal Peh, protects the integrity of the Torah Shebichsav. Okay, but the general rule is that ein mikra yotze midei pshuta. There are a few exceptions to that rule. We don't have to get involved in the exceptions, but there are a few exceptions. Ayin tachas ayin never meant literally. Rav Soloveitchik said, if you say ayin tachas ayin the way the Gentiles, the Umos HaOlam, think we really old, ayin tachas ayin, and then we got too scared to do that, so we just modified it and said pay money instead. But it's really an eye for an eye. Rav Soloveitchik said that's it never meant eye for an eye. It's figurative. It meant to be paid an amount of money. Why then does it say eye for an eye? It's misleading. Good question. But he claimed that was always, that's even the literal interpretation. Okay, fine, but in general, there are exceptions to the rule where the literal interpretation is not preserved. For the most part, that is the rule. Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. So Tysus feels, or Reb Shimon feels, Tysus is explaining Reb Shimon, that yes, go hecha the ikra lemedrash darshina, but there's a limit. You know when you can make a drush whenever you want, as long as you can, wherever you can find the room to darshan, even from the crowns on top of the letters, from S, you want to make all the drushes you want from a double repeated word, gezinta hey, but there's a limit. What's the limit? You can't contradict pshuto shel mikra. Ein mikra yoytz midei pshuto. And the pasuk says, de machzoro, he's missing something. So have tavitenu. So Shimon says, well then why does it repeat it twice? Must be dibraterical shoyim b'nei adam. And Reb Shimon feels dibraterical shoyim b'nei adam. He doesn't have a problem saying that. Torah speaks the way we speak. You want to make a drasha, aser taser, to come to include other types of maaser, great! I'm behind you 100%, but you can't contradict Pshuto Shel Mikra. What does the other opinion in the Gemara hold? That loy dibraterical shoyim b'nei adam? The other opinion in the Gemara, I would submit to you, Rabbi Say, holds that that is Pshuto Shel Mikra. When the Torah repeats a word, it is Pshuto. We have a problem. You have to make a drasha. It's not Kohecha, the Iko, the Medrash, Darshina, wherever you can stoop in a drasha, great, but there's a limit. You can't contradict Pshuto Shel Mikra. We have a problem even in Pshuto Shel Mikra. You must fill this void. Why did the Torah repeat it? And you can't tell me, Dibra Torah Kol Shem B'nei Adam. That opinion, the Gemara rejects that. There is no Dibra Torah Kol Shem B'nei Adam. So you're forced to make a drasha. Ah, you're going to make a drasha that contradicts Pshuto Shel Mikra? But I have a problem on this hand, the Pshuto Shel Mikra. How do you deal with Havei Tavitenu? So if I have to make a drasha that contradicts Dei Machzorah, yeah, I give everybody stuck, even if he doesn't need it, too bad. I have a problem on either end of Pshuto Shel Mikra. So that's why the other opinion the Gemara holds, Loi Dibra Torah Kol Shem B'nei Adam, you can even make a drasha that contradicts the Pshuto Shel Mikra, because having a repeated word in the Chumash is unacceptable. That is itself part of Pshuto Shel Mikra, is the fact that we have a problem. We have to make a drasha here to justify the repeated word. Reb Shimon holds Dibra Torah Kol Shem B'nei Adam. So on the level of Pshuto Shel Mikra, he doesn't have a problem. So he says, you want to stoop in a drasha, stoop in a drasha. But you can't contradict Pshuto Shel Mikra on the other end. So getting back to our machlekes, Yesh Eim L'Mikra, Yesh Eim L'Mesiris, I believe the machlekes is the following. We got through saying, we said at the beginning, everyone holds, both are true. the Masaira is true, the way that it's written, the Mikra is true, the way that it's pronounced, the Torah is written without Nekudah, is to allow for both, the way it's written, the way it's pronounced. What then is the Machlekes? Do we give Yesh Eim LeMikra, Yesh Eim LeMasaira? The question is, which one is Pshutel Shel Mikra? You can darshan whatever you want, says Tosis. You can darshan the Mikra, you can darshan the Masaira. Only if they don't contradict each other. Why? If both are true, then why if they contradict each other, all of a sudden now they're not true? Or, the one who feels that if they contradict each other, the Masaira is true, how can he ever darshan the Mikra? And the one who feels that the Mikra is always true, how can he ever darshan the Masaira? The answer is, both are true. The Machlokes says, which one is Pshutel Shel Mikra? And you can make whatever drasha you want in the Mikra and the Masaira, as long as you don't contradict Pshutel Shel Mikra. But which one is Pshutel Shel Mikra? Is Pshutel Shel Mikra the way that it's written, or is Pshutel Shel Mikra the way that it's pronounced? And that's why, one more hold, we give preference to the way that it's written, we give preference to the way that it's pronounced, depending on which one this you feel is Pshutel Shel Mikra. That's the Machlokes by Yesh Eim the Mikra, Yesh Eim the Masaira. Not which one is more credible, which one is more correct, which one was preserved better. They're both halakha l'maris m'sinei. We assume that they're all preserved intact. Machlokes is which one is Pshutel Shel Mikra. And even though you can make whatever judgments you want, not in a way that contradicts Pshutel Shel Mikra. Okay. Screw it.